Proverbs 10, 6 and 7. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Blessings are upon the head of the just. You know, one of the things that the Scriptures does for you is to get your head on straight. I remember when, as a young boy, being told that, get your head on straight. You know, as if it's all cockeyed and crooked, which it is, without the Word of God. The Word of God gets your head on straight. And God's blessings are upon the head of the just. Now, our lesson of last week stressed the importance of building a life upon the permanent in contrast to a life built upon the immediate. For a life built upon the permanent is a life that operates in the arena of faith, the arena in which God is supreme. You know, God has an arena, and He invites you into that arena. And it's the arena of faith. We live by faith. God says the just shall live by faith. He has so arranged it for you to live by faith, because that pleases Him. Now, everything that God values has eternal value, and He wishes for those values to be shared by His children. And to bring this about, God makes this promise to the just. He says, blessings are upon the head of the just. Now, the just are God's children. If you are a born-again Christian, you are the just. You belong in the family of the just. The just are those who have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The just have a particular benefit that the wicked do not, and that benefit concerns blessings from the Father. You know, this is a wonderful promise in which to live life, to know that you have the blessings from a wonderful Father, from a righteous Father, from a Father who cares for you. To know that God delights to bless His children. You know, you think about that. God delights to bless you. God wishes to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to pour out blessings upon you. That's the attitude and the heart of your Father. You know, I think as a father, that ought to be your heart for your children, to pour out blessings upon those children. You know, today we see blessings poured upon children that ought not to be poured upon children, because there is conditions to blessings, and we'll get into that. But I am reminded of two prominent men of Scripture who are examples of where blessings or lack of blessings of God will lead. Where do the blessings lead? Where do the lack of blessings lead? Now, these two men, Jacob and Esau, sons of Isaac, were twins. We know the story. Esau was the firstborn, and by the right of firstborn, should have had the blessing of his father Isaac, and all that was to be his connected with that blessing. Now, if you're the firstborn in the days of yore, the firstborn had blessings which the secondborn did not have. Today, we generally equalize things. But in those days, the firstborn had blessings that the secondborn did not have. Now, Jacob and Esau were two very different men, for Jacob desired that which was permanent, but Esau dwelled on that which provided immediate satisfaction. You know the story. I know the story, how Jacob went to great lengths to get the blessing from Isaac. Oh, he went through the wrong things to get the blessing from Isaac, but he had a heart to have the blessing. He fed Esau's desire for the immediate. For Esau sold the birthright of firstborn son. What did he sell it for? A mess of pottage, some soup, something to satisfy his immediate need. And then by deception, Jacob received the blessing of the firstborn son from Isaac. Esau, we're told, cared little, cared nothing for the birthright. He saw it as nothing, whereas Jacob saw it as everything. Esau cared nothing for the blessing of his father, but only desired that which satisfied his immediate hunger. You know, God knew Esau's heart before the foundation of the world. For we remember his words to Rebekah in Genesis 25:23-24. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. What does that mean? There's two men that are different, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. You have children, and you look at them and you say, can they be from the same family? They're so different. Well, that was true about Jacob and Esau. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And we know from history, we know from looking at Scripture, that people, they were people of the immediate and people of the permanent. We have people of the immediate and people of the permanent. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So we see here, the Lord knew what was going to take place. Now Rebekah listened to the Lord. She heard the Lord. But rather than wait upon the Lord, she thought God needed help. You know, how many times do we think God needs help to bring about what we perceive as his will? You know, perhaps the Lord tells you that this is what I want, and you will go about bringing it about when God says, wait, I'll bring it about. And that's what we see with Rebekah. She thought God needed help in bringing this about. So she was part of the conspiracy with Jacob. Now, it's easy to condemn Esau for being so worldly, for being so immediate-minded, for being so careless of the blessing. But Christians are not guiltless, for Christians also have a birthright. Have you ever thought of yourself as having a birthright? Are we not born into the family of God, where Jesus was declared the first begotten of God, but he was also declared the firstborn among many brethren? That's a birthright. You're a brother of Christ. You're part of the brethren that they're talking about. And it also says we're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs of Christ. And like Jacob, we are to covet God's blessings. You know, if we go after God's blessings, then we should go after what it takes to get God's blessings. We just don't say, give me blessings. There's some conditions that take place for those blessings. We are not to despise the birthright by having little hunger for spiritual food. You know, hunger for spiritual food is one of the conditions of God's blessings. Hunger for spiritual food is one of the conditions for God's blessings. We are to dwell in obedience to God's word in order to live in the channel of the blessings of God. You know, channels only, that song is. What does that channel do? Well, it brings the blessings of God. We are to love God and love God's care of us through his blessings. For one of the greatest delights of God is to bless his children. We're told in the scriptures that God is slow to anger, but he's swift to show mercy. He is swift to bless. He holds back his wrath, but he pours out his blessing. That's what we live in Christ. God walks very slowly, very deliberately to the place of wrath. But God runs like the wind to extend his mercy, for it is his delight to bless. Oh, he's so giving, isn't he? He's so giving to us. The plan of God for man includes God's blessing upon man. When Jesus Christ on the cross spoke his last words, "It is finished," included in that finishing was the putting on the side of every believer every spiritual blessing that God can bestow. Paul in Ephesians 1:3 wrote this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." But note this important condition. This is a condition for spiritual blessings. You must be in Christ to be blessed with all spiritual blessings. Are you in Christ? Are you in the place where you can receive spiritual blessings? Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." This means that God the Father sets believers apart for himself and for his service. But it also means that believers are set apart for his blessing, blessing that is only given to his children. Now you think about your own children. You pour out your blessings upon them. You don't necessarily pour out your blessings on your neighbor's children. They're there to get blessings from their parents. You may throw them a bone once in a while, but you're there to bless your children. And God takes his parenthood very seriously and desires that he bless you. Sanctify them through thy truth puts a believer into the pipeline of God's spiritual blessings. That's how you get into the pipeline of God's spiritual blessings. The practical outworking of God's word in the life of the believer will bring the believer the blessings of God. I'm so glad that I have the blessings of God. You know, all people of the world receive temporal blessings of God, but the blessings that he gives only to those who are sanctified by our spiritual blessings. He gives those to those that have been set apart. The world cannot know spiritual blessings because they are spiritually discerned, and only a spirit alive unto God can receive the things of God. They are in Christ blessings and can only be known by those who are in Christ. Spiritual blessings. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Now our proverb, "Blessings are upon the head of the just." This paints a picture of a just or saved man or woman under a great waterfall with cascades of water pouring over his or her head. It is the great Niagara of blessings that God wishes to bestow on his children. This is the picture that God wants to be impressed on our minds in his children, for it is his delight to load his children with blessings. You know, David caught this truth in Psalm 68:19. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." You know, you get a daily truckload that comes in and pulls in the morning, and he loadeth you with benefits, the Bible says. Is there any room for complaining when you have all these benefits, all these blessings? And then we sit around and say, "Well, I've got all these blessings, but they sure could be better. I could have more." You know, what kind of attitude is that? He daily loadeth us with benefits. Now, Charles Spurgeon pictured this great outpouring of God's blessings when he commented on David's psalm in his expositions of the Psalms. I want you to listen to this. It's like an orchestra, an orchestration of the blessings of God. It almost has a musical form to it as he takes us from the quiet beginnings of a great symphony of blessings to the crash of cymbals and bass drums as the litany of blessings climaxes to its end. Spurgeon writes this: "Where shall we begin to survey this vast load of mercies? Where shall we begin? It's almost insurmountable to begin. Were it no more that he has given us a world to live in, a life to enjoy, air to breathe in, earth to tread on, fire to warm us, water to cool and cleanse us, clothes to cover us, food to nourish us, sleep to refresh us, houses to shelter us, variety of creatures to serve and delight us. Here were such a load." That's a pretty good load, isn't it? He says. Just think about those. How long will it take for you to consume that load? But then he says, "But now, if we add to these civility of breeding, dearness of friends, competency of estate, degrees of honor, honesty or dignity of vocation, favor of princes, success in employments, domestic comforts, outward peace." Did you thank the Lord that you had a bed to sleep in last night? That's a benefit. Oh, it's a benefit. I love my mattress. It's just so comfortable. You know, if you got an uncomfortable mattress, throw it out. Get a new one. Domestic comforts, outward peace, good reputation, preservation from dangers, rescue from evils. The load is well mended. You've used up that load. Here's another load. "If yet ye shall come closer and add due proportion of body, integrity of parts, perfection of senses, strength of nature." You know, my wife and I were talking about that. You know, there's a lot of research, medical research, that has to do with repairs of systems in the bodies that have failed. But there's no medical research that proposes to improve the body, to say, well, you need another hand, or you need another liver, or you need another leg. None of that. Just research to improve or to correct diseases. But God has made you marvelously, hasn't he? Integrity of parts, sufficiency of appetite. Think about your appetite. Oh, I'm hungry today. I'm hungry. Oh, doesn't that taste good? Oh, that's such a wonderful piece of pie. You know, how did taste buds evolve? What's the need for taste? You see? Sufficiency of appetite, vigor of digestion. Oh, Lord, thank you for that. As you get older, vigor of digestion. What a wonderful thing that is it not? Wholesome temper of seasons, freedom from cares. This course seems to heighten it yet more. "If still ye shall add to these the order and power and exercise of our inward faculties, enriched with wisdom, art, learning, experience, expressed by a not unhandsome elocution, and shall now lay all these together that concern estate, body, mind." And then he uses this phrase, "How can the axle tree of the soul but crack under the load of these favors?" The axle tree of the soul but crack. Oh, the benefits are getting so great, Lord. The axle tree of my soul will crack. "But if from what God hath done for us as men, we look to what he hath done for us as Christians, that he hath embraced us with an everlasting love." Now we're getting into the meat of the benefits. "That he hath molded us anew, enlivened us by his Spirit, fed us by his word and sacraments, clothed us with his merits, bought us with his blood, becoming vile to make us glorious, a curse to invest us with blessedness, in a word that he hath given himself to us, his son for us. Oh, the height and depth and breadth of the rich mercies of our God. Oh, the boundless, topless, bottomless load of divine benefits, whose immensity reaches from the center of this earth to the unlimited extent of the very imperial heavens. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and declare the wonders that he hath done for the children of men. Isn't that a symphony of God's benefits and God's blessings? There's no room for complaints or bitterness in the heart of one of his children. You know, all that Spurgeon wrote is wrapped up by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, the 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. We have a taste of those things, do we not? By the Spirit of God? Don't we have a longing for heaven's doors to open as we go to him? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, do these spiritual blessings come upon the head of the just from an eccentric or fickle God? Does God just toss out blessings impulsively or indiscriminately? Or do the spiritual blessings conform to a pattern or a plan? Now, early on in the Scriptures, that plan was given to the children of Israel, how to access this hoard of blessings. God's plan tells us that God's blessings are directly tied to obedience. The valve of obedience must be opened for God's blessings to flow. This is what Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 6 confirms. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Overtake, can't handle them all. Overtake thee. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of the kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. If you will observe these commandments. Now, it's God's delight to bless, and his blessings flow by obedience to his word. Now, this is not a threat of God to obey or else, but this is a promise of God. His word is such that by obedience to it, blessings automatically come. Blessings do not come by disobedience to his word. You know, you think about your own home. How are your children blessed? Your children are blessed they should be blessed in direct proportion to their obedience. You know best. You know best for them. They're children. You're adults. You know best. And if they obey, they will be blessed. God's creation follows His word. His order is such that we must function His way if we are to be happy in that order. And in order to live best in His creation, we too must follow His order. You know, one of the things that takes place at boot camp is to try to make happy soldiers, happy sailors. They don't come happy, but eventually when they figure out the order, figure out the way the Navy, the Army, the Air Force operates, they're happy if they obey and fit into that order. We as well as all of God's creation must conform to His commandments. And as His creation is blessed by obedience to His commandments, we also are blessed by obedience to His commandments. Anyone outside of God's economy, those who do not trust His Son, the Word of God, will suffer all loss because they do not obey. There are no spiritual blessings to those who do not obey God's word, for spiritual blessings flow from obedience. Blessings are upon the head of the just, and the head of the just will open his mouth in praise and thanksgiving to the giver of benefits. He will not only open his mouth, but he will open his mouth wide, for he knows that God delights in children who desire his benefits. You know, you think about your children at the dinner table. They don't open their mouth wide for the things they don't like, but they certainly open their mouth wide for the hamburger or the chicken nuggets. God is saying, open your mouth wide. And depending upon how wide you open your mouth will be the benefits that I will put in. He's told us this in Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You know, blessings are upon the head of the just, but our proverb tells us that violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The mouth of the wicked cannot open wide, nor can it praise God, because he withholds himself from the blessings of God. You know, it's not God's fault. It's his fault, because he puts his hand in front of God's blessings. His own belief keeps his mouth shut from the blessings that flow freely to those who will believe. The wicked shut themselves off from any spiritual blessings because they refuse God-given life that will open the door of heaven's blessings to him. You know, God is not prejudiced against you. If you're his child, the blessings will flow. If your mouth is open wide, you'll receive many. If you just put your mouth up like you're receiving something you don't like, you won't receive much. But the wicked refuse to obey God, and therefore they put themselves at odds with all that God has that will bring blessings. And then our last proverb, we're told this: the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Even the memory of the just, we're told, is blessed, because his life, her life, is filled with the blessings of God. This is what will be remembered about the just. You know, you think back and you see how blessed some people were, some people that have passed off the scene, and you think how blessed they were. You think about the blessings of God. You don't think necessarily about the greatness of the just, but you think about the blessings that God has bestowed upon the just. But the wicked have no blessings of God. to be remembered, and therefore the name of the wicked shall rot, but the blessings of God upon the just will be remembered. You know, Christians have a birthright, and that birthright allows us to enter into the blessings of our Father. But like Esau, we can value those blessings little and sacrifice our birthright. We can have our mouth wide open to the things of this world, but barely cracked to the things of God's domain. It's your choice. Jesus told of the value of the birthright when he compared the losing of a soul to the gaining of the whole world. You know, you may go after the gaining of the whole world, but God compares it to the losing of a soul, and he finds that the gaining of the world lacks credibility. But that birthright that you have can be fully realized by hungering and thirsting after righteousness, can be realized by loving God with all your heart and your soul, can be realized by obeying God's word. For simply by obedience to God's word, entrance into the blessings of God is gained. Now, if you don't have this birthright, the right to share in God's spiritual blessings, you should know that God wants you to give your soul an eternal birthright. You can have that birthright by trusting in Jesus Christ. You know, the world thinks little of that birthright. They count the cost and they think the cost is too great. There was a writer of this hymn, Have You Counted the Cost, by A.J. Hodge, which so clearly shows the competition between the blessings of the world in contrast to the blessings of God. It goes like this. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord. The pastor alluded that to in his message a few times ago. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of his Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? While the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted the cost. Oh my, you look at the blessings of God. Compare them to the blessings of this world, and there's no comparison at all. And yet the multitudes don't count the cost. How horrible it would be to hear the message of the gospel and not to count the cost. Father, thank you so much for this good scripture that you've given to us. How wonderful it is, Father, to be under the Niagara of the blessings of God. Help us, Lord, to treasure our birthright and to live in our birthright, Father, and not to step out of that Niagara of blessings. We pray that you'd bless our service today. In Jesus' name, amen.